Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this great story of Abraham. Thank you that we are, in fact, the children of Abraham because of his faithfulness to you. And we pray this evening we may see something of the significance of that as we heard that reading tonight, that meeting that he had with God, and how he learnt more about the amazing plan God had, not only for him, but for generations to come, right down to this very moment in time. So help us to hear, understand, and apply your word to our lives this night. Amen. Earlier this week, I didn't feel quite 100%. And I think I said to Margaret, I think I'm getting old. And then I thought of other people who might say, I'm old enough. And some might say, I'm very old. Well, let's face it, Abraham was 99 years old and possibly thinking, why am I still here? But look with me at the first verse of our reading tonight. Abraham was not alone. He was in the presence of none other than God Almighty, and was about to recognize the importance of experiencing God's power in his weakness. The hymn writer of that first hymn we sang knew what that was all about. I am weak, but you are mighty. Hold me with your powerful hand. You know, the same needs to be recognized by us all. This business of knowing God's power in our points of weakness, when we face pressures and demands that almost overwhelm us. We don't have to be 99 to prove God's power when we feel at our weakest. And I guess there are some here tonight who've had that experience, or maybe going through it even at this moment in time. Well, listen on through this great chapter in Genesis. God Almighty comes before Abraham and gives him a clear command. Walk before me and be blameless. I'm going to spend a bit of time on that. A walk implies a journey, a pilgrimage affecting the whole of our Christian life. We're not on a mystery tour or an aimless amble. We know our destination to our journey's end. That's what eternal life is all about. And Abraham is commanded by God Almighty to walk before him. Walk before me, which means in the sight, in the presence, in the company of God Almighty. Is that the way we view our Christian life? You see, to be under the all-seeing eye of our mighty God is a two-edged experience. A sense of great uneasiness and a great sense of comfort and assurance. For Abraham, when God revealed himself in a vision first in Genesis 15, he was afraid. But God said to him, do not be afraid. I am your shield, your very great reward. There was a mixture between fear, uneasiness, and then God assuring him that he was with him. He was both disturbed and encouraged. And the same needs, I think, to be true of us. Because the writer of the Hebrews wrote one of the strongest verses in the whole of the Bible. He reminded his readers that it is a dreadful, I prefer the word fearful, thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But as we walk, God guides. So we sang tonight, guide me, O my great Redeemer, pilgrim through this barren land. I think sadly we may have largely lost sight of this aspect of worship in our day, namely a sense of God's holiness in the light of our sinfulness and the need for our daily repentance and the reception of the joy of sins forgiven. That need never be heavy, but it needs to be there to gather and to grasp that sense that Abraham had and the people of those generations maybe before us had of the awesomeness of God, as well as the marvelous mercy and love and patience he blossoms upon us. Look again at the command to Abraham. Walk before me and be blameless. Now we know as well as Abraham that we are incapable of living a blameless life. Let me give you an acid test. Just think back over today if you need convincing of this. The real meaning, though, of this word is not really blameless, but wholehearted service of God and of others. Get hold of the word wholeheartedness, and you've got the thrust of that word. Gone is the casual approach to the amazing God we know. Never simply call Jesus Savior. He is Savior and Lord and demands our wholehearted service. I spent rather longer looking at that part in my preparation, I think, than any other, because it sets the tone and the scene for what comes next. We come to the covenant, the promise that God put before Abraham. We saw in Genesis 15 how God made the amazing promise to Abraham in private, not only of a son, but through him of a great family of children, through countless generations. And God took him outside and said, "Count the stars, if you indeed you can count them." He never would have forgotten that experience. And Abraham's response is crucial to understand. We're simply told Abraham believed the Lord, and as a result, he was put right with God and brought into that living relationship with him that we enjoy today. Now, in our reading tonight, God confirms his covenant and his promise between me and you will greatly increase your numbers. And the verses 3 to 8, we're looking at God's grace and God's initiative. I think it's important to see that this covenant is not a bargain. All the promises were given by God Almighty. Count the number of times the word I comes. I will do this, I will do that, I will do that. All the way through. Abraham's given a new name, father of many nations instead of an exalted father. Nations and kings will come into being as a direct result of this covenant through the lines of Isaac and Ishmael. This is a focal point in the history of mankind. It will be an everlasting covenant between me and you, right down the generations to come. And Paul reminds the Christians in Rome that Abraham is the father of all. Matthew begins his gospel with that genealogy of Jesus Christ and ends it with these words, the son of David, the son of Abraham. You see the breadth of this, the spread of it? Never undermine the Old Testament. You can't understand the New Testament or the gospel completely unless you have a grasp of what took place here with Abraham. This one man who believed God, who staked his whole life upon God and received that right relationship with him, which we now have as a result of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, who was the son of Abraham. In John's gospel, Jesus says to the Pharisees, "Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." You know, a sermon is never finished. And this afternoon I sat down and I went through things a little bit as I normally do. And I thought there's something here that's really interesting. If Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day, isn't that evidence of life beyond death? For all know God, all who know God as their Lord. Abraham would have witnessed this. Then comes the point that Abraham is not to sit back and say, well, there's the covenant, there's the promise. Verses 9 to 10 start with, "As for you," Abraham now recognizes that he and his descendants have to do more than believe. "As for you, you must keep my commandment, my covenant, you and your descendants for the generations to come." How were they to do that? By walking before God wholeheartedly. The same is exactly true for us, I believe, as we receive the new covenant through Jesus and his death on the cross. At that first Holy Communion with his disciples, Jesus said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." How we would remember those words, how we're able to say each time we come to the Lord's table. But God goes on to say, you know, you people, this people, are going to be a marked people. That's the significance of circumcision. The sign of circumcision was commanded by God to single out Abraham and his descendants as his people. Just as the sign of the cross in baptism speaks of all God has done through Christ for all of us. When we understand the true meaning of baptism, we too are called to the same wholehearted faith in Jesus as we walk before him as our Lord to our journey's end and into eternity. And we pray on behalf of little ones at baptism that they too will come into that understanding and that knowledge of God whereby they are able to walk with him. We need to remember daily that we are not on a mystery tour, not knowing our destination. Our Christian life is not to be an amble, but a wholehearted commitment to Jesus as Lord. And I suppose over this weekend, that's been part of the call, hasn't it? To a wholehearted commitment to the work of God, that through this building project, he will be glorified and folk will discover him for themselves. That's the vision. But we need the wholeheartedness to achieve that in every aspect. This is not to say that we will never have doubts and questions about the way ahead. That's part of life and human existence. But we have the constant assurance that Jesus is always out there ahead of us, preparing our way. The key thing is to keep close to him in our relationship by learning more of who he is through God's word, the Bible, and daily commitment of our lives to him in prayer. Now, I don't know how this is going to work. We're going to have a bit of light relief. Just imagine, for one moment, that you are on the center court at Wimbledon, playing that man, Roger Federer. Wait for it. You're two sets up, and in the third set, you're 5-love up. Then you win the match with a passing shot down the line. You fall to the ground, laughing, not believing this could have happened at all. Well, before we go too far, it's make-believe. It's the I wish type of dream. That was the only way I could think of dealing with this, that Abraham, when he received all these promises from God, and ultimately the promise that he was going to have a son by Sarah, he laughed at the thought of the birth of a son to Sarah and him in their old age. He even had that thought that God would bring this about through Ishmael. But back came the reply from God, yes, but your wife, Sarah, will bear you a son. Ishmael was not to be forgotten in God's plan, but the impossible was to happen through Sarah. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, and Sarah will give birth to this time next year, the heading of our sermon tonight. Well, unlike our Wimbledon dream, thank God that that was a fact. Or was it wishful thinking? Not a bit of it. Who is Abraham listening to? I am God Almighty. There is an interesting parallel here between Abraham and Mary, the mother of Jesus. There was another impossible situation, as Mary was a virgin, but her reply was one of faith. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. It's the same faith in God. We need to see that these exceptional interventions by God in the lives of specific people at key moments, like the old covenant through Abraham, the new covenant through Jesus, are there for specific reasons. Nothing was to frustrate God's plan of salvation. But these miracles must be seen in the context of that plan. It's comforting, isn't it? You've heard me say this before. I'm going to say it again. God has created an open universe into which he comes in the course of his history and even into our individual situation. And whatever you hear from people like Richard Dawkins, who takes the opposite view, this is the one that counts. And God will intervene also in his mercy and his grace. He'll intervene in our lives on occasions. There are times, aren't there, when we say, I don't know which way to turn. And God intervened in his grace. And by his Holy Spirit assured us at that point, I'm with you. I will never leave you. Well, what is God's great will for us? Well, it is to walk before him and be wholehearted. That's what we lack as Christians in our generation. I was reading a book at the moment called The Everyday Church by Tim Chesters. And he reminds us that we as the church and as Christians are now living on the margins. That the vast majority of people in this country, in this town of Beckenham, have no intention of coming to us in church. When they do, we should praise God. When they don't, we are called to live wholeheartedly for God and for others in our community, Sunday to Sunday. Let them see Jesus through our love for them in action as in word. So I challenge myself tonight and invite you to be joined in this challenge. What am I like in the family between Sunday and Sunday? What am I like at the cash till in the supermarket? What am I like behind the wheel of the car in heavy traffic, particularly in Beckenham? What am I like on the bus or the train? Am I alert to the casual comment in conversation with a stranger that might lead on to something deeper? We need to be out there, Sunday to Sunday. That doesn't in any way cast a shadow upon the importance of us worshiping together week by week. But it's out there that our witness and our presence is going to count. We're in that stage of development in our society. Sorry if I've gone on too long. Let's pray together. We come to you tonight, O Lord, God Almighty. We thank you that we are in your hands. We pray that we may have something of the depth of faith and confidence that Abraham had. And we pray that we may be those who can say that we wish to walk before you wholeheartedly. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.